What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Goal to Go. Thanks for joining us here on episode 3. We're here to talk about the post game of the Atlanta Falcons Philadelphia Eagles game, and let's just hop right into it because we got a lot of stuff to get off of our chest. First, let's start with our predictions from last time. I predicted 31-20 Atlanta. That actually happened to be much closer than I really wanted it to be. I was being a pessimist, but unfortunately, it was pretty close.
You won somewhat of a bet there.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's bittersweet. I wanted to be right, but at the same time, I also would have loved to be wrong. It was a hard game to watch.
I predicted 34-30 Birds. And, I mean, rightfully so. I think that if we had DeSean Jackson and Alshon in, then we would have had that. And, you know, we even had to put in Josh McCown. And, you know, every single one of our players was going to the tent. Timmy Jernigan is out. We're just, like, getting put on. Like, all these injuries right now are screwing us. And then if you know, one more thing. I'll make one major excuse, and then I'll try not to make any other excuse throughout the rest of just, like, talking here. Is that it was kind of clear that on that Julio Jones touchdown at the very end, there was a, you know, block blatant in the back. There was a blatant block in the back, and I didn't even realize it then. And I honestly probably would have been less upset of the outcome if I really saw it then. But I didn't see it until, like, today on social media, and I was like, yo, that's crazy. Yeah, like, that's actually crazy. That's the biggest play of the game right there, and the refs absolutely missed that. That would have let the Eagles win. And then we're also going to be talking about Nelson Aguilar's hands today, probably, you know, like,
or lack thereof.
Yeah,
he's such a brick, dude. I can't believe he. All right, but let's just hop right into the stats. We'll start off with Wentz, because he's the leader of our team. He didn't have himself a very good game by any stretch of the imagination. He was 25 of 43 for 231 yards, one touchdown, two picks, but he also had a rush touchdown in there. My analysis of Wentz is basically the first three quarters he played like trash.
And then he was an MVP candidate. They said the first half he had like a 6 QBR or something like, dude, something like that. It was cheeks. And he, like, we're watching and we're like, who is he even passing to with some of these? Like, what is he doing? He's playing, it's not even like he's playing scared. He's just playing stupid.
And the thing was, I'm not even going to put full blame on him, basically, because of the injuries. I don't think he has the chemistry built with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or Mac Hollins just yet. Even though Mac Hollins, you know, he's been on the team for a while, but he's been injured. It's just like these new guys, it was clear he did not have the chemistry going, and they just weren't on the same page. Because there was a lot of throws, like you said, it's like, who are you throwing to, dog? Like, where was that pass supposed to go?
Bro, I think that, I don't know, anything with our team chemistry was just off. Jason Kelce was caught running to the Falcons sideline at one point during the game and was, like, over there, so his head wasn't even in the right spot.
Nah.
You know, we can talk about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I don't think that he's any bit of an asset whatsoever. It seemed like when balls were getting thrown to him, it seemed like he was acting more so a corner instead of a wide receiver. I saw a lot of confusion at the line of scrimmage on our offense, and it's like, you know, a lot of this stuff is so predictable too when we're on defense. It's like, all right, you know that they're not going to run for a lot because our D-line is, like, pretty solid. But anytime Matt Ryan throws the ball in the air for more than 20 yards, you're like, okay, yeah, Avante Maddox, Ronald Darby, they're beat. You know what I mean? Sidney Jones, they're beat.
I'm not even going to blame anybody on defense but Ronald Darby. He's got to go.
Yeah.
He's got to go. Like, it was atrocious at the fact that he's supposedly our number one corner, and he was the one getting picked on the whole game. Like, Calvin Ridley's touchdown, the deep ball when we blitzed, which, you know, speaking of blitzing, we were finally blitzing, which I said we should do last episode.
And people can't complain about that because, you know, we wanted the blitz. We got the blitz. All of our corners bit. Granted, there was that block in the back, but, like, no. Like, that's what we wanted. We wanted to do a blitz on that play.
And honestly, I think the blitzing was a good idea because, let me just go over Matt Ryan's stats real quick. He had 27 of 43 for 320 yards, three touchdowns, three picks. And all of those picks came on, like, plays that we were blitzing. We were sending heavy pressure. Sidney Jones got a pick, Nate Gary got a pick in the end zone, and then Ronald Darby got a pick. But I'm not even going to give Ronald Darby credit for the pick, because if you actually watch the playback, he got completely burnt by Julio Jones. Yeah. It was at least 5 yards of separation. It's just we sent a zero blitz, meaning we sent basically everyone we could, and then Matt Ryan just threw it off his back foot and underthrew it. So if it was an actually good throw, that would have been an easy touchdown. I'm not giving Ronald Darby any credit. He's got to go. I want Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I want to get to that too. Like, Jalen Ramsey, I feel like would be so good for our team too. And it's not even the fact that he's the best corner in the NFL, is that he's cocky as hell too.
True.
Like, this guy is so cocky that if he came into the Eagles locker room, and the Eagles are like, you know, before the season started, we're a Super Bowl contender. We still are a Super Bowl contender. But the fact of the matter is, if we get a cocky guy like that to kind of show everybody in our secondary, like, yo, this is the attitude that you need to have if you want to get these interceptions, get these turnovers that are ultimately going to, you know, change the result of the game. Because it is, our secondary just sucks so bad right now. You know, every single time Matt Ryan threw the ball up in the air. Like, when I was watching the game, I was like, all right, it's caught.
Yeah.
And like, if it wasn't overthrown by a little bit, then it was caught. You know, yeah,
there was a lot of passes he threw up that easily could have been, you know, touchdowns. But like I said, we were just sending heavy pressure, so he couldn't get it on the money. That being said, you know, when you got Julio with 5 receptions for 106 yards and 2 touchdowns, Calvin Ridley with 8 receptions, 105 yards and a touchdown, that just does not look good. That doesn't look good whatsoever. Obviously, like you said, we kept the run game in check. Their leading rusher was Ito Smith. On 4 carries, he had 32 yards, and Devontae Freeman had 11 carries for 22 yards. So it's like, we're a top 3 run defense, but I don't even know what we are in the pass. I just know we got to be bottom 10. We're terrible.
Yeah.
We can't cover anyone. And our D-line's not getting any pressure. We had 2 sacks in the past 2 weeks. 1 sack against Matt Ryan and 1 sack against Case Keenum.
No, I'm not even necessarily worried about... I mean, the sacks are great, but I'm not even necessarily worried about that. Like, I love watching stuff where, like, I think it was, like, you know, the first drive or maybe the second drive of the game, Brandon Graham lit up Devontae Freeman in the backfield.
Yeah,
and that was like, a huge play right there. Like, even just, like, stuff like that, like, I love to see that out of our D-line. And we just don't get any of those big plays from our secondary, and that's kind of, like, where we're at right now. As far as, like, how we match up with other teams, dude, the Falcons are managed pretty decent.
They're loaded on
Matt Ryan. Yo, Matt Ryan, he honestly is the reason they won that game. That he audibled that play to Julio Jones, yep. And I'm going to keep bringing that up because that play
that was
changed
the
game, and that was, you know, he audibled that play, hit Julio Jones, and he saw that blitz coming. Carson Wentz isn't experienced like that yet. Matt Ryan played a way smarter game, and that's why they won the game.
Yeah, that's true. Granted, like I said, with those 3 picks, there was definitely some errant throws, some things that he shouldn't have done. But he did play a much better game than Wentz, even though the stats wouldn't necessarily tell you he blew him out. He definitely played a better game overall. And it's just sad to see. It's just our offensive line didn't look good. Carson was under pressure the whole game. Like, he was hit way too many times for my comfort.
That throw from his knees, though, was kind of sick. That was absolutely sick. So that's the thing that about crazy. Carson. It's like, yo, who are you, bro? Are you, like, are you Houdini? Are you the bull, real? Like, honestly?
He is the bull.
Or do you suck?
He can't be the bull when he's getting constantly pressured and he's playing with our 3rd, 4th, and 5th string wide receivers.
That is true. That's like, the biggest thing right there. You couldn't even tell. That game was so weird. That was, like, one of the weirdest Eagles games I've ever watched in my entire life. Just because, like, you know, going into the game, we're like, all right, yeah, we got Deshaun, we got Alshon, and then you're watching the game, and, like, I think Deshaun had, like, what?
11 total snaps.
11 yeah. snaps. I think Alshon had a little bit more.
It was 17.
Yeah, 17 total snaps. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is. We lost that game. And it absolutely sucks because that's a pretty important game. We should have won that, especially because the Falcons had a really bad week one. And they're not a good football team. I really don't think the Falcons are that good.
And the thing that's crazy is I think they actually might win their division.
Me too. I was going to say that too, because Cam Newton is absolutely, Drew Brees is injured, and then the Buccaneers are the Buccaneers.
They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And through the first 2 weeks, let me just provide some context for everyone on how bad Cam Newton is. He has 36.4% of his passes are uncatchable passes, meaning passes that are off by at least 5 yards. So that's over crazy. A third of his passes over the past 2 weeks have been uncatchable. And that just shows how bad he is, and clearly he's hurt. I think he's going to be out for this next week because he re-aggravated his foot, and he's still trying to recover from that off-season shoulder injury.
Yeah.
But it sucks to think that they're going to be in the playoffs, because does that mean they're going to have our number again? We're clearly outmatched by them.
I don't necessarily think that's the case, just considering the fact that we played them already this season, which is a good thing. And then, hopefully if we play them in the playoffs, we'll have Deshaun and Alshon Jeffrey, and maybe Jalen Ramsey. Who knows?
But Howie, pull the trigger, please.
That would be absolutely insane. I would love to, first round and a fifth round for Jalen Ramsey. That would change our whole season. But as of right now, if we're looking at where we're at in the season, if somebody told me 2 or 3 weeks ago that this is where we'd be at, I'd be a little bit pissed. Dak Prescott is straight up looking like an MVP candidate. The Cowboys are going to be 3-0 after next week because they play the Dolphins. And everybody's going to be talking Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl once again. But is it going to happen? No, it's not going to happen, because everything that unfolds with Dallas is Jason Garrett is a terrible coach when it comes down to it. It's how you play.
He's the leads and claps.
After a couple conversations, it kind of puts things in perspective. It's how you play in the playoffs. And when you have a team like the Dallas Cowboys, who are bona fide scrubs, they have never, they do not win in the playoffs, for the past, 4 years. And, Stephen A. says it, Shannon Sharp says it, but then you have those guys like Skip Bayless and Colin Coward, who, for whatever reason, the only reason they talk up the Cowboys like that is because a lot of people like the Cowboys based off their geographic location. That's why people like them. Because when the NFL first started, Dallas, there was no other city that had a football team within 500 to 600 miles north, east, south, or west of Dallas. So they pull in fans from all those, from that entire area. I think it's probably even further than that. So they pull in those fans, and that's honestly why they're America's team. And from that, they get fans. That generates money. That generates why people want to play for them. And that generated why they had Super Bowls in the 80s and the 90s. But then you look at how everything unfolded in the NFL. Now you have teams from all across the country, and they have to compete a little bit. And the Dallas Cowboys, out of every single sports organization in the world, they're the sixth richest sports organization in the world, worth billions.
I thought they were the first rich.
I think it's something like FC Barcelona or Real Madrid is number one. And that's because soccer is more of a global sport. But when it comes to that, football, Dallas Cowboys have the richest football franchise. And they, ever since I was born, I'm 21 years old. I turn 22 next month. Mm-hmm. And since I was born, they haven't done anything. They've won maybe 3 or 4 playoff games. That's because they're poorly managed and they can't pull it off. So don't get discouraged. The reason I'm bringing this up about the Cowboys is because they're obviously the other team in our division that we should worry about. But I don't think that there's anything that we necessarily need to worry about. The Eagles have the most NFC playoff wins in the past 15 years. And people forget to think, they never think about that. But we have the most NFC playoff wins in the past 15 years. We have a lot of, NFC championship appearances and all that.
Four in a row
a while ago. I actually watched the 2008 NFC championship game today. Kind of watching Donnie Mack lose to the Cardinals sucked. But
it's all right, man. But all I know is, I am a little nervous about the Cowboys. But you know what? Screw them. They're going to eventually, mess it up like they always do. But the only silver lining about this is this makes 3 years in a row where we've lost the second game of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2017.
It was the Chiefs. Yeah, and we actually had a good game,
Yeah, we actually, we managed to keep that close. We kind of got waxed by the Bucks in 2018, but, that's Fitzmagic. But all I know is
Fitzmagic.
we've been 1-1 the past 3 years, but we've made it work. So hopefully we can continue to make it work. I just want to make some moves. We need a culture shock, and Jalen Ramsey would be the perfect culture shock for this team.
Exactly.
Our DBs need someone to actually look up to, and like we need someone on the back end where we can say, cover this dude one-on-one.
Our players are spoon-fed right now. Jalen Ramsey's hungry, dude. He was in that AFC Championship game versus the Pats in 2018, putting in work. And granted, the Patriots still came back from that, but like
that's because Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
Yeah, it is what it is. He wasn't able to come back versus the Eagles, but like the Jags were a different situation then. If we got Jalen Ramsey, it would be so much better because right now our players are getting spoon fed. I'm gonna be real. The Eagles are soft right now, and I hate saying that. Zach Ertz is the softest player in the NFL. He goes home and Julie is cooking him up dinner when he gets home. Honey, blah blah blah. You know, good practice. Nah, I'm not playing none of that because you couldn't scrounge up an extra yard to get a first down in the most crucial situation.
That was the worst.
Like, nah, you're soft, bro. You shouldn't be a tight end. You should be playing somewhat of a slot, and you should be disrespected in the locker room after something like that. Because any other tight end in the NFL that's like, you know, actually worthy of conversation, Zach Ertz being one,
probably would have reached their arm.
Probably would have reached their arm out a little bit and probably wouldn't be a complete softy about it. But the fact of the matter is, Zach Ertz is soft as hell. And like,
you're right.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk about complete game changing plays, obviously that was one of them. That was a game ending play. But let's go back to the second half opening kickoff where we were actually only down 6-10 and we had a chance to go up. But Corey Clement fumbles the opening kickoff. That was a complete game changer.
It was like, all right, when the game was starting, I was like, we got ball at half, let's go.
Exactly.
he fumbled, I was like, all right, looks like we don't got ball at half.
Exactly. Like, that was a complete game changer. And then also, as much as blame as I want to put on Ertz, Aguilar dropped the surefire game go ahead touchdown.
Oh my god,
that was in his paws.
He's got brick hands, dude.
That was in his paws.
I think Aguilar's got something in his head. I think he's got something in his head when it's like a crucial situation and he needs to catch a pass. Yo, it's honestly like it's a psychological thing. He has some sort of. I bet when he was playing youth football when he was in seventh grade. He probably dropped a pass that was right in his hands to win a game or something, and he's living it out every single time he gets a crucial pass thrown to him.
He's right back in his 2015 rookie
form.
No,
dead serious.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, that's another reason why the Eagles are soft this season. And it's like dude, that is not how we're supposed to be. When you have a fan base that's willing to, like, you know, when you have a fan base that when they see a kid wearing a Falcons jersey on a college campus, and you have a fan that is willing to put a middle finger up to that dude and say F you, you gotta have somewhat of a people, you know, doing whatever, you know, you have to have players that are willing to grind for that.
Eagles fans are willing to die for their team, so I'm just trying to see them die for us, man. Carson does it week in and week out. He was a trooper this last game. He made some bad plays, but he battled back and still put us in position to win. On that drive that we went ahead before Julio Jones, got that screen pass and took it for a touchdown.
I was like, bad game. You know what I mean?
Carson was perfect. Like, I'm pretty sure he was like 8 or 8 or 9 for 9 on that drive.
Yeah, that drive was insane.
He was absurd. Like, he was putting in that work. And then, of course, you know, he puts us in position to win the game. Nelson drops it. Ertz doesn't stretch out. He had that miraculous little catch on 4th and 13 or whatever. So, you know, I give him props to that. But we wouldn't have been in that situation if he caught the ball that was in his hands. We would have been up 27-24. And then we would have been in the same situation that we were last two times we played the Falcons, keeping them out of the end zone or out of field goal range.
Yeah.
Would we have done it? I don't know. All I know is if you're a trained professional, you need to catch that ball.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? All I know is we'll be back Thursday night for the pregame analysis of the Lions versus Eagles. It's a home game. We're coming back. We better be hungry, and we better squeak out this W.
Absolutely. I got nothing more to say. The Eagles are soft. We better get a win next week.
See you guys next episode. And remember, stay safe and go Birds.